Please turn with me again to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and I'm reading verse 14. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So my subject tonight is God's divine surgery, or divine heart surgery. So spiritual heart surgery, or in other words, how God uses his divine scalpel to operate the heart of a sinner to make him to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So Acts chapter 16, I believe, is a well-known chapter. But these two verses, verse 14 and 15, can be easily bypassed. They can go unnoticed. Why? Because nothing dramatic is happening in these two verses as the Lord quietly opens the heart of a sinner. But I want us to look at the setting just to help us to understand how this came to be, how the Lord used that spiritual scalpel in order to penetrate, to prickle, and to bring salvation in the heart of Lydia. Now, the context, I'm not going too far from the context, there was an answer from Paul to what is often called the Macedonian call. So a man is crying for help to come into Macedonia. But interestingly, instead of a man, when Paul comes to Philippi, instead of a man, he finds a woman. This woman is from Thyatira, but living in Philippi. She is not from Macedonia. She is not even from Philippi. She is not even from Europe, but she is from Asia, Asia Minor. So, surprises, in a sense, how the Lord, in his sovereignty, brings to pass salvation in the heart of a person. So, Lydia became... sometimes people are saying she was the first European convert. I don't believe in that, so that's why I'm very careful. She is one of the first European converts, and it happened during Paul's second missionary journey. And while he was with Silas, he was with Timothy, he was with Luke. Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, was an eyewitness. So we have in the record, in the book of Acts, somebody who was there. It's not just somebody who heard about things happening, but from this chapter, chapter 16, Luke will be an eyewitness of all that is going to happen. So he's given us a truthful record, as with all the Bible. We can trust the record. But from this small beginning in Lydia, there is actually what we may call a beachhead of the gospel across Europe, and that gave even a worldwide mission. Europe should be grateful to Lydia. This is from a small beginning, but this is where it all began. This is where the gospel have started to reach. And you can read later the letter to the Philippians, and you will see the beauty. This is a great church later. The three first converts of that church in Philippi were all mentioned to us, and their household also are mentioned here in Acts chapter 16. So the Holy Spirit, who is also called the Spirit of Jesus, forbade Paul and his companions to go to Asia, but he led them into Europe, where again the first convert found in Philippi was not a European, but an Asian from Asia Minor. And still in that background, it was also one of Paul's habits is that when he goes into a city, he always goes to a synagogue. But when he came to Philippi, there was no synagogue. Instead of meeting with men in the synagogue, he met with women. The record or the history tells us that for a synagogue to be, you need a gathering of 10 men, which 10 Jewish men, which means you couldn't find even 10 Jewish men in the city of Philippi. But instead of meeting with men, as they were looking for a place for prayer, Paul met with women in a specific place. But this is again amazing because Paul distanced himself from the teachers of his time. The rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, wouldn't teach women. And actually, you remember in John chapter 4, the disciples, when they came back and found the Lord Jesus Christ speaking with the Samaritan woman, they were surprised. How does he dare to do that? This was revolutionary. The Bible is revolutionary in many ways. Here is Paul, while the culture says, no, do not teach them, Paul was willing to teach them. Now, there are many women listed in the Bible, many, hundreds and hundreds, I believe. But many of them, we do not know their names. But in this case, in verse 14, Acts 16, verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, or the Lydian, at least we are given her name, we are given her occupation, we are given her family, we are given her piety, we are given her hospitality. Many things are said to us about Lydia, and we have her pre-conversion, we have her conversion, and we have her post-conversion. All those details are given unto us. But the purpose of our meeting is not really to give us more information about her, but there are only 3 verses in the whole Bible about Lydia. Here in verse 14, 15, and then in verse 40, this is the last time we hear about this woman in the whole Bible. So I would like for us to look at some of the details which brought her heart to be opened by the Lord. How did it happen? First of all, we are given her occupation. She was a seller of purple, verse 14, a seller of purple from Thyatira. She was a successful businesswoman. She was selling a very expensive material reserved for royalties, actually. It was very hard to cultivate purple. Very hard. And purple was also later they make high quality garment worn by princes and rich people. So she was indeed a well off businesswoman, as the text mentions it in verse 14. And actually, Thyatira was known for its purple dyes. There was even a saying in the past: no colors as gorgeous as the crimson and the purple of Thyatira. So it was a well-known, and I will not dare to go into this, but in Revelation chapter 2, the Lord sent a letter to the church of Thyatira, but we will come to that by the end of our sermon tonight. So that's the first aspect about her life. She was really a successful businesswoman selling high quality, very expensive material worn only by princes and royalties. But the second thing, which is more important for us in verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. She was a worshiper of God. I think this should, we can spend the rest of the night really trying just to explain and showing to believe in God or to worship God is not enough. She was a worshiper of God in her context there in that time, meaning she has embraced the Jewish religion. It means she was a Jewish proselyte. But in spite of the fact that she worshipped God, we can see she needed something else. She wanted, she was seeking for something else. And that's why in the Lord's mercy again, in the Lord's sovereignty, he sent Paul and his companions to speak to her. She believed in the existence of God, and many nowadays, maybe not in the UK, but even in the UK, many will claim, I believe in God, I believe in God. Do you see? She believed in God. She prayed. But even on a third aspect, she honored the Jewish Sabbath day. And if I could just make a small comment here. To believe in the Jewish Sabbath day, according to the New Testament, has never saved anyone. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the master of the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 2, he said, the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But that is why in the New Testament, the Jewish Sabbath, which was on a Saturday, has been changed by the Lord himself. How? By the way he was risen, by the day he was risen from the dead. Which day the Lord was risen from the dead? And we know that from the scriptures, Matthew chapter 28, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and so many verses in which we know that Christ was risen on the first day of the week. The way people count the days of the week has changed. But before, even in the Anglo-Saxon culture and schools, when you start to count the days of the week, you never say first day Monday. Even when I was at school, when you count the 7 days of the week, you say the first day of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and so on. So maybe I said too much there, but she believed in God, she prayed, she believed, she honored the Jewish Sabbath day, but all these things didn't make her to be saved. Something else was missing in order for her to be saved. There is no way, I said it this morning, there is no way for anyone to be saved except by the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how the person fears God. If I could say, I'm really impressed as an ex-Muslim. When I look at Muslims, many of them fear God. Many of them. The way they fear God, it's even unmatched with the way many churches are dealing with God. They fear God. But this is also what we see with Lydia. We see that with Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and many others throughout the book of Acts. No way to be saved by anyone else except the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how much fear of God you have. We hear people saying today, you know, the only thing that matters is sincerity. No, sincerity is not enough. And actually, you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. That's what is happening with so many religions. So she had God, but not the Lord. There is a difference. Many believe. The demons, James chapter 2, verse 16 says, the demons also believe in God and they tremble. So to believe in God and not to believe in the Lord is vanity. She knew the Creator, but not the Savior. It is important to believe in the right God according to the Bible and in the right person. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, there is only one God, but also one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ the man. Only one mediator, no other. in order to be saved. But because of her ignorance, look at verse 13. I made it by purpose not looking at verse 13. But here we find at the end of verse 13 that when Paul met with them, the end, and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So, which means, in her ignorance, now she needed Paul to speak to her about something great. Not just believing in God, not just praying, not just honoring the Jewish Sabbath day, but something great is missing in her life. And Paul started to speak with her, and with actually, he was delivering a sermon to the women there. But the question, my dear friends, what did he preach to them? We do not know from the text, but gathering from many sermons of Paul, I believe Paul started to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentioned the suffering servant from Isaiah 53. He spoke about the many prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ, from Isaiah again, from Micah, from 2 Samuel chapter 7, from maybe Genesis chapter 3 and so on. Many, many prophecies in order to teach them how to know the Lord. He explained to her who the Redeemer was and how he shed his blood for sinners who will trust in him, Jews and Gentiles. He told her how sinful we are and how the Lord came to die, live the sinless life, crucified and rose again from the dead. Certainly, he preached eternal life unto her. Certainly, he spoke about heaven. Certainly, he spoke about faith. Certainly, he spoke about repentance. Do you know we cannot be saved without repentance? I need to repent. I need that about face, that U-turn. Here I am. I think I'm so great. But in my misery, I need to see that I'm going actually to condemnation. If I may use, I know it's a hard word, but I'm going to hell. But now, suddenly, I hear there is a God who loves me. There is a way that I can have fellowship with him. And the Holy Spirit is working in my mind, in my heart. And I see how miserable I am. And I cry unto the Lord, oh Lord, be merciful unto me. That's repentance. And I'm sure Paul has mentioned that to her. And certainly he said to her, Christ said, come unto me, all of you. And she listened. She listened carefully, and he spoke certainly also about obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, what happened after such sermon? What happened to Lydia? Oh, look at the verse again, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord sovereignly opened her heart. The Lord sovereignly opened her heart. I don't think we can be more clearer than what is said in the text. The Lord did it. Not her prayers, not her skills, not her power, but the Lord did it. But amazingly also, not the ingenuity presentation of Paul. Oh, Paul can give a striking sermon, I believe. But the text doesn't say, because of what Paul said in mighty words and many words, her heart was opened. But the text said that the Lord opened her heart. It was the power of God. At the end, the preacher cannot boast. The preacher should never boast about the salvation of anyone. God, to God be the praise, to God be the glory. That's how salvation is of the Lord. Yes, that, but there is a caution. The preacher must be passionate, the preacher must be clear, the preacher must make himself to be understood and so on. But no preacher should claim any conversion. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Christ alone, through his Spirit, can break through the heart of a sinner. So it was not Paul's, It was not clever assembling of words or masterful presentation. It was the Lord. But we must move because there is something else in the verse. Why the Lord has to open her heart? Very simple answer. Our hearts before conversion are shut. They are shut, closed, completely closed. And they are closed by birth. We are born sinners. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by birth. We are sinners by choice. We are sinners also by practice. How could we escape? The wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. So before conversion, we live in ignorance and darkness. Our hearts are so closed. We ignore God. We didn't want to hear anything about it. Why? Because Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says that the heart of man is wicked. Wicked. Desperately wicked. Who can know the heart? Can I know your heart? Can you know mine? No, only God can know the heart of a person. That's why God has the solution. God has the remedy. God has the way to give us that contrite and broken heart. The proud person is made humble. The selfish person now is a giver. The haughty person is made to have a humble heart. With conversion, the Lord removes the bars of unbelief. Christ holds the keys to our heart. It is my heart that needs surgery. Oh, medical doctors cannot do anything about it. That's why in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. Please, can I challenge you tonight? Don't neglect the need of your heart. Don't neglect the need of your soul. Your soul is crying. It's crying. And your heart is empty. There will always be that void, that emptiness in the heart until God fills it. That's why we need God. And God can give us more than what we have asked. We do not need a new leaf. With the new year, people will have new resolutions, new determinations, and so on. You do not need to turn a new leaf here and there in your life. You need a new heart. And God said in the Old Testament, He's going to give us new heart by believing in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly, I believe, while Paul was preaching all these things I already mentioned, suddenly Lydia saw her own life, she saw her own need, she saw her own sinful heart, and she could cry unto God because everything said there is not given unto us. But I believe at that specific time, she saw her condition. And she said, also, Lord, open my heart. You can pray the same. Lord, open my heart. Left to myself, I will never be able to do it. Give me faith. Give me, Lord, that new heart. And I come to thee with all my heart. Now, we see here the sovereignty of God, as I already mentioned. But there is something else. We see also the responsibility of man. Yes, salvation belongs to God. But do you know we have a responsibility? What is the responsibility? It is here mentioned in verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. What did she do? She paid attention. Oh, my dear brother and sister, maybe you are here for the first time. Maybe you are even tired after a long day. But I'm so grateful that for your attention. There is nothing greater than that. But the greater thing is your attention to the Lord, to heed to every word He is saying to your heart in order to find Him. Lydia attended, she paid attention to to the word of God. And the Lord opened her heart because she was willing. She was willing to hear. So your attention tonight is not in vain. If this is a reward to you, the fact of listening, when I listen to the word of God, my prayer to the Lord, Lord, let all my senses be alert. Maybe something is going to be said which will save my soul. Please, Lord, work on that. Help me to be attentive. Help me to be awakened, not only in the body or in the mind, but let my soul be awakened. God used simple means to open her heart. The preaching of the word. I am sure many people in this congregation, they know Romans 10 verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So as you hear the word of God tonight and speaking to the Lord, praying unto him, the Lord gives faith. So not all conversions are dramatic. There was no thunder. There was no earthquake. There was no sweat from her neck to her back. Nothing. Nothing as such. There was no palpitations in the heart. Nothing. The Lord operated and opened her heart, pierced her heart, and penetrated her heart. And here she is. Why? Because she attentively listened to the word of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, salvation is of the Lord, but salvation is individual. I'm almost at my conclusion. Salvation is of the Lord, but salvation is individual. We are saved, we come to faith one by one. A certain woman. You see, she is singled out among other women. She is singled out. Yes, her family, her household will come to faith. But I believe all the people in her household were people who could easily understand the message of the word. And likewise, like her, the Lord opened also their hearts one by one. One by one. Not collectively, but one by one. And the second thing which happened to her, she was baptized. Do you know many people neglect baptism? But baptism is the very first step of obedience in the life of a believer after salvation in the New Testament. Baptism by immersion is an identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection. So she was baptized as an act of obedience. Now, in conclusion, I thought I could bring out what is happening in Revelation 2, even in the letter of Philippi to the Philippians, where she is not mentioned. But here is all what I said wrapped up. If there is anyone seeking unto the Lord tonight in our midst, I believe as we put together all that has happened to Lydia, if you seek the Lord, you shall find him, and you shall find him to save your soul. So, seven things, and I just mentioned them because they are all from the text. Our greatest need is conversion by being given a new heart. How? The first step for anyone to find the Lord, we need that attentive heart and mind. She paid attention. She was receptive. She had a receptive attitude. She attended unto the things spoken by Paul. She longed to know the truth. If you are sincere, really seeking after the Lord said, if you seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. And second, her heart was opened by the Lord, not by the preacher. Oh yes, the preacher needs to preach the word of God. But God uses the word of God to speak to the heart. So her heart was opened. Our hearts needs the divine scalpel to be opened. Third, she confessed the Lord Jesus Christ through water baptism. Fourth, she surrendered her life in true obedience and service. The fifth one, she opened her home for the Lord's servants. Can you see the parallel? Or the reciprocity, the Lord opened her heart, but she opened her home for the Lord's servants. And in verse 15, you can see she even appealed and constrained them. She was a good businesswoman. She constrained them, and they stayed. In verse 40, even after the persecution, when Paul and Silas were beaten and so on, when they were freed from the prison, they went to Lydia. So her home was wide open for the believers. God opened her heart, but she opened her house. Saving faith does something. It is not silent. She said, come, stay in my house. Teach me more. 6, the gospel is not to be debated. We do not debate the gospel. She didn't ask any question. She believed. The gospel is to be believed, not debated. Very important. And it is not about good feelings, but about faith and repentance. Can I close by saying, if you come to the Lord in repentance tonight, he will welcome you. He will receive you. He will wash you clean and give you a new heart. And the 7th, God gives the power of receiving and believing. John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Please, don't say, I will wait. I will wait until I get older. Children, don't say, oh, I will wait until I'm 20 or 25. Tomorrow doesn't belong to you. The Lord says, come now. And don't say, I will wait until I feel like. No, salvation is now. Don't wait until when you want it. Want it now, desire it now, but come now, which is the most important. Call upon his name and you shall find him. Come to the Lord. Come and embrace him. Seek for his face. Tell him how much you desire his person and his work, his precious blood to cleanse you from every sin. And if you do so, the Lord said, I shall wash you and I shall give you a new heart. Let's pray together. Our gracious and heavenly Father, O Lord, we love thee, for thou art the Savior of the world. We love thee, Lord, for thou answerest the prayers of thy children. And we pray, Lord, through all that has been said in this place tonight, that someone will be troubled by the word of God. We pray that the gracious Holy Spirit will do that work of salvation in the heart. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 416.